Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
We are excited to begin our service today with some baptisms. So if you're participating online, let me start by saying welcome to you. I'll go ahead and do that right now. We're honored that you're watching with us and worshiping with us. If you'd let us know you're there by following the prompts on the screen where you can text the word, welcome to a certain number. It's there on the screen for you. That'll let us know you're there. We'd like to connect with you. Let me share with you online and for those in the room as we start with baptism, what baptism is. Baptism is a symbol of what God has done in our lives. It's a symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It is also a symbol of the new life we have in Christ. We are dying to our old ways. We are being washed and made new by Him and raised to new life in Him. The water is not special or magical or even holy in any way. It's simply water that's gathered together. We've got it nice and warm in here, and it is a symbol of what Jesus has done for us. Each of the three that are being baptized today have already given their lives to Jesus. They've already received His gift of salvation. They received His grace and His mercy. And so today they come to publicly profess that. And so we invite you, if you know Jesus and have never made a public profession through water baptism, we strongly encourage you to do so. The Bible tells us to do so, and we'd be glad to talk with you later about that. So with that being said, who's ready for baptism? First up is Caden Ellis. Caden has given his life to Jesus. We've met, we've talked about what the Lord has done in his life, and we're excited for him. So Caden, let me ask you, who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus.
Amen. All right. Cross your hands here. All right. It's my privilege to baptize you as my brother in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Next is Caden's big brother, Kingsley. And so Kingsley comes today. Let me move this out of the way, buddy. Kingsley comes today. And let me ask you, Kingsley, you and I have met, so I know the answer. But so all of our friends here will know the answer, and your family will know the answer. Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus.
Amen. It's my privilege to baptize you as my brother in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Next, we have Miss Crimson Chandler. As she makes her way here, I so enjoyed meeting with her and sharing with her. And there's just no doubt in my mind about her giving her life to the Lord. And she, you know, when we ask certain sets of questions, by the way, we try to be very cautious and careful and methodical and honestly slow with kids because we do not want anyone to feel rushed or pressured by us into any sort of decision. We don't want them to feel rushed or pressured by parents or a well-meaning teacher, anyone as well. So we always want to know for certain that they know Jesus. So each of these three, we've met together, we've talked about that. And honestly, their answers about what it means to follow Jesus is powerful. And our children are learning and growing and knowing so much. And so we celebrate that. So, Crimson, who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus.
It's my privilege to baptize you as my sister in the faith, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Ooh, that's exciting. So that's great. Anybody get wet down there? You guys okay? All right. So I can spread a little if y'all, we won't, so. Listen, we're so thankful to celebrate baptism together. What a great way to start. New life in Christ. And so we're going to sing about the fact that God, who has brought new life to all people, now the battle belongs to Him. So let's stand together as we worship together.
before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. So when I fight up, fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high, oh God, that belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet, I see through the night, oh God, that belongs to you. Oh God, that belongs to you.
As we continue worshiping together, we're going to say this wonderful hymn of praise, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. And as we sing this song, I want you to reflect on what Christ has done for you, what Christ has done for each of you in your life, as we tell the story of Jesus this morning. Let's sing that out.
Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweeter.
sweetest that ever was
heard. Lift this up.
This is my story.
Today, yesterday, and forever. Let's sing that together. I'm calling on the God of Jacob.
I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling.
You are the same God. You
With me for just a moment. All over this campus in the last few days, I've sensed the Holy Spirit moving. Last Saturday at the celebration of life for Paul Adaki, I'm so thankful as people worshiped, the Holy Spirit led. Last Sunday as we gathered together. Wednesday night, over 70 teenagers upstairs worshiping the Lord, hands lifted in praise to Him. What an incredible moment it was. This morning, as we gather here, it's a unique time. We have seen God move over and over, but we ask Him to do something new and fresh today, because He was the same God yesterday and the same God last week. He's the same God today. He still moves in power. But every one of us in this room need to know that for you to receive a word from the Lord, for you to leave changed, for you to give God the glory and honor He's due, that is all because the Holy Spirit will be at work in this place. So would you let that be your prayer? That last little bit we sang together, refrain, I'm calling on the Holy Spirit. Would you ask the Holy Spirit to move in your life today? As a prayer, let's sing it to Him. I'm calling on the Holy Spirit. Almighty River. Almighty River, come and fill me up. come and fill me again.
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 Father, I ask that you might allow the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would fill us. Lord, we do not for any moment pretend that we can manufacture a moment of praise without the Spirit, that we can manufacture a moment of righteousness without the Spirit, that we can manufacture a moment of healing or transformation without the Spirit. So God, we ask that you would help us today to be led by the Spirit, to follow suit for what you have for us. Lord, I thank you for every person in this room that have let these words come from their heart and their mind even before their lips. And my prayer is that we would each take time now as we open your word to follow the leading of your Spirit, that you would illuminate these words to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, friends, if you will. I want to invite Chris Todd to come right on up here with me, if he will. I want to share with you guys, Chris and Kim Todd serve as missionaries in Lebanon, and they are our longest standing Advance 2024 partner. We started with Chris and Kim back in 2012, and they have been with us through that entire process. In fact, it was in January of 2012 that we officially began what we call the Advance 2020 movement, which has now continued on way past 2020. And so it's been a blessing to be a part of your ministry and what you're doing. But for folks that are new, would you quickly just say how you felt a call to Lebanon and why Lebanon?
So that actually began in 1986. I enlisted in the Army and they taught me Arabic. And some of the work that I did when I was in the Army was related to the civil war that was going on in Lebanon back in the 80s. And the situation was really a lot similar to what's going on today, and my heart was just moved and broken for the suffering of the Lebanese people and the Palestinian people when I saw how much they suffered during that. And so when Kim and I decided to go to the mission field, my heart was already in Lebanon, and I already knew the language. The Lord had prepared me, 30 years ahead of time for that.
So who knew that out in the county, in Marshall County, there was a chicken farmer who was fluent in Arabic? Who knew that was the case?
Actually, the Marshall Baptist Association knew that. They called me one time and asked me to help out with some Iraqi refugees that settled in Marshall County. But I can't tell all the funny stories, but there's some really funny stories.
But I would say 99% of the people in our county did not know
that. They did not know that.
And so what a blessing it would to know that God would take you from Marshall County, Alabama, to serve in Lebanon. And the reality is, the same is true for you or for anybody else in this room. It's simply saying yes to the call, right? So you serve in Lebanon. Your ministry has shifted over the years. It has always been the goal to bring the gospel to the Muslim people that are there, whether they be Lebanese people, whether they be from Syria, or whoever happens to be there, to bring the gospel there. But it has shifted over the last couple of years to trauma therapy. The majority of your ministry has been lately trauma therapy for Syrian refugees who have escaped horrible, horrific war conditions and atrocities in Syria over into Lebanon. They've come there for safety. But over the last couple of months, especially, longer than that, but especially the last couple of months, there have been a horrific number of bombs that have been brought from Israel into Lebanon in multiple places, to where now it seems in my mind that all the training and what you've been preparing to use among the Lebanese people, that now God has a plan that you're going to need to be providing trauma therapy for many people from Lebanon, not just from Syria. Is that correct?
That's correct. We actually have seen that. As you mentioned, we started out with trauma therapy for Syrians. And there's a first picture there of a boardroom with a big table in it. Yeah, so this is actually a trauma therapy session in our center, entire Lebanon, with Syrian refugees. And that's kind of how we started out, because we saw that so many of our ministry workers were highly traumatized, PTSD, anxiety, depression from their war experience in Syria and then from living as refugees in Lebanon. So we actually started this trauma therapy ministry with our own workers back in 2020, 2021, and then expanded it out from there. So this is what a typical therapy session, a group therapy session, would look like. We use EMDR-based therapy, and as we've used this, we've seen that the Lord has prepared our workers and our ministry for more things to come. We didn't know what was coming, but the Lord always knew what was coming. And so as the war progressed, of course, it started last year with that horrific attack of Hamas on Israel. And then the response to that, the Israeli attacks on Gaza and Lebanon. In Lebanon, more than 3,400 people have been killed, most of those in the last couple of months. And, you know, that's been the hardest year of ministry we've ever had, was the last year. Because we lived in a war zone, Kim and I did, for a year. And I don't know how many of y'all have had that unfortunate experience, but it weighs on you day after day, week after week. And people who've suffered trauma, they may look okay on the outside, but on the inside, they need help. They're often not okay. And so we see that. We saw that developing then in Palestinian people. We started having a lot more Palestinian people coming for therapy, and now Lebanese people. As you said, it's really the Lord has brought this ministry to be prepared for the things that were to come. But we did start out with Syrians.
And God in His sovereignty, He doesn't just know the future. He's in the future. He's there. He is not bound by time and space. And so when it comes to the trauma therapy, how you bridge that to the gospel?
That's really important, because we view this trauma therapy program as healing in the name of Jesus. So if you ask us how we present it to people, healing in the name of Jesus. And there are multiple ways that we do that. When we open any trauma therapy session or meeting, we pray and we invite the presence of Jesus to be with us in the room. And so all of our clients get to experience that, the people who come for therapy. We include Jesus in as a supportive person written into our trauma therapy protocol, and we also share with them verses from the Bible. The one that I think is the most powerful and impactful is Jesus said, "Come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And I will tell you that for someone suffering from trauma, from PTSD, anxiety, depression, that's what they need, is a place to unburden and rest. And that is so powerful for them to know that Jesus offers that to them.
So you've trained a number of people to be able to do the same thing. Even in your absence, the therapy continues. All those that you trained, did they all come from a Muslim background to begin with and came to faith in Christ? Were there any that did not come from that? And can you tell us about those that you've trained?
Sure. So that next picture is actually of our local workers that do the trauma therapy. So it's something important for you to understand that this program is still happening. I'm not there. We had a war. Everybody who was in Tyre in our trauma therapy center there has had to move on somewhere else. For the first year or so of the war, I would say I kind of laughingly say the normal amount of rockets and artillery hitting around Tyre. But then about 2 months ago, it really, really increased to the point that Tyre has been heavily bombed. The whole city has been evacuated. This was a city that probably had 150,000 people in the whole greater Tyre area. There's no one left now. The number is estimated to be less than 10,000, and that number goes down daily. So everyone has left the city, including all of our workers. Thank the Lord we got them out safely. But now our workers are working in Beirut. They're also working in Tripoli in the north of Lebanon. The people that you see in this picture, other than the lady on the lower left, these are Muslims who've come to faith in Christ. These are people who professed their faith in Jesus. I've trained them in this trauma therapy program, and now they are offering healing in the name of Jesus wherever they go. Amen. So the ministry is very much alive in that strange way that persecution or trouble can grow a ministry. We've seen that happen. We have two trauma therapy centers now.
Well, you know? and I shared this in the earlier service. It reminds me of Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Acts 1:8, he says, "We will be his witnesses," Jesus does, "in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And honestly, they rocked along there, the first disciples, not really knowing what to do with that for a long time. 7 chapters later, in Acts chapter 7, Stephen is stoned to death, and then the church begins to be persecuted greatly. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, they are scattered. And in doing so, that was a catalyst for the gospel to spread. So in some ways, you guys, the last couple of months has been an Acts chapter 8, verse 1. I don't make light of that. It's been an Acts 8, 1 kind of moment where it has spread your workers and those who are trained all across the country so that they can now have another hope for the gospel in new places. So we'll pray for that for sure.
Exactly. This next picture is actually our living room. Kim and I have an apartment in Tyre, and this is our living room that you're seeing now. And in this picture, we weren't there. We actually left Lebanon before the heaviest bombing began to actually come here and attend meetings and conferences like this one. When the heaviest bombing began, the Israeli bombing around Tyre, around the area where our trauma therapy center is, all of our workers fled from their homes. Many of them fled to our house because it was in a what we thought at the time was a safer location. There are no safe places in Lebanon now. The entire country has been bombed from north to south. But they congregated there at our house for a while until it began to be bombed around our house. And then they left to other locations. And God was good, really, to be able to place them all in places where they can continue doing ministry.
So your apartment and the Healing Path Ministry Center, the building, right. are they in good shape? Are they standing? Is all well there?
We don't know. Those areas have been heavily bombed, especially around the Trauma Therapy Center. We don't know if that building is still standing or not.
So you won't know until you return. You won't know for sure.
We won't know until we return or until I can find some friend willing to drive by and tell me if it's standing or not.
Okay.
We've gotten a couple of reports on our house that it's still standing, but three buildings next to it or near it have been bombed. So
in the messiness of life and the messiness of world politics and the messiness of war, there are people on both sides of that who desperately need Jesus. And so
they do.
As your ministry takes place, it just seems as if it's going to be needed more and more and ramp up more and more for the gospel's sake. So we want to pray for you. And let me make a commitment to you on behalf of our faith family. Your longest standing partner, it's not ending. We want to carry on what's happening with you and what's happening there. We made a commitment back in 2020 at our, what was the culmination of a huge celebration for 9 years of our missions program and the launch for the rest of it. We made a commitment then that we would begin to shift our international missions to heavily focused and majority focused, not all, but majority focused on the 1040 window. The 1040 window is a geographic swatch across. If you take out a map and look at longitude and latitude, you can come to 1040. You can take a look and see it's an area of the world that is heavily Muslim or other faiths other than Christianity. There's not a lot of Christians there, not a lot of gospel opportunities. So we want to make sure we're investing heavily in ministry in those places because they matter for the kingdom. They matter where the scripture tells us that people from every nation, tribe, tongue, and language will come. And so we have a part to play in that. So we get to have a part in what's to come and what's happening now. So we will continue to partner with Chris and Kim. We want to, were y'all sitting in a different spot now? Okay, sorry, right here up front. Sorry. Chris and Kim, we want to pray. Kim does not love to, she did not want to come up and have to speak, and we 100% respect that. But as Chris mentioned in the earlier service, we want to pray for Kim. Speak a second about your wife in that regard, sort of what you said in the early service.
I'm sorry, he's making me do it. The last thing she said is, don't say anything about me when you go up on stage. You know, we people all the time say, Chris, we're going to pray for you, but please do pray for Kim because she's been a part of everything that's happened. I made the analogy that Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire, right? Ginger Rogers did everything Fred Astaire did, and she did it backwards and in heels, right? So Kim has done everything I've done, and she needs your prayers too.
So let's pray for the Todds, all right? Let's pray. Father God, I take a moment and I say thank you for Chris and Kim putting their yes on the table to leave what they knew, Marshall County, what they knew, a business, what they knew, family, what they knew, friends and church, and to move halfway around the world to a people they did not yet know, but they have come to know and fall in love with. And Father, we thank you that they have gone to be a light, that they have gone to be messengers of reconciliation to the people, to the Syrian refugees, to the Lebanese people, to all the others who make their home in Tyre and beyond. And God, we pray that you would protect their ministry. We pray that you would provide for their ministry. We pray for all the workers that have been spread out throughout the country, that the gospel will be proclaimed loudly as they continue to share and help people through their trauma. Lord, there will be much more need for this in the days and weeks and months and years to come. And my prayer is that you would allow them to be a part of the healing process of what Jesus wants to do in the hearts and minds of the Lebanese people. Father, we're praying for salvation. We're praying for many to come to know you. Father, we ask you to move in power among them. Be their provider in all things. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Chris. You guys, let Chris know we're thankful he was here today. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you. If you can, at the conclusion of the service, I would invite you to speak to Chris and Kim. You may have questions. We have had people go and serve there. We had people lined up to go just a few months ago, but due to the deteriorating conditions, we were not able to do that. And so there will be another opportunity to go at some point, and maybe God's going to call you to do that. Chris and Kim serve as ambassadors for the kingdom of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you'll take your Bible and turn with me, I want to spend about 15 minutes talking about this passage. You know this passage. I have been excited since we finished our series, The Jesus Way, at the end of October, and we don't start our new Christmas series until December 1st. It's given me this month to take some passages that have been on my heart here lately, single passages, and preach through them. So today, it's one, if you know the Lord, you know this passage. If you've been around believers very long, you've heard this passage. It's important to our faith. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. Paul says these words, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." What a powerful verse for us. Keep going. "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to him and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us this message of reconciliation. Therefore, because we are reconcilers, because we have been reconciled, because we're new in Christ, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." What a powerful passage. Let's unpack it verse by verse. Verse 17, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." It says, if, that's a big word, if we are in Christ. If we're in Christ, we are new. If we are in Christ, we are not better. If we are in Christ, we are not improved. You are new. Jesus did not come to make your life better. Jesus came to take what was dead and make it alive. Jesus came to give you new life. The Bible is not simply meant to improve your morals, though it will. The Bible is not simply meant to teach you ethical business practices, though they are there. The Bible is not meant to just help you cope in life, though it will. The Bible is the story of God who sent Jesus, his son, to make dead things alive. Somebody say amen to that. He's what he's done in your life, in mine. Jesus came to redeem the old you into a new you that will worship him for all eternity. That's what he came to do. Take the old and make it new. Paul expounds on this again in Romans chapter 8. Don't turn there. You stay in 2 Corinthians, but listen to these words in Romans. In Romans 8, Paul says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Now that long, beautiful run-on sentence, what does it mean for you and me? There is so much theology here. It says this, that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus because the law of this Holy Spirit and life and salvation has set men free from the law of sin and death. There are natural laws that say because man sins, we deserve death. There are natural laws that say because we sin, we cannot spend eternity with God, but the law of freedom has come to set us free through Jesus. And so that's what he did. What Jesus did, we could not do in our own weak flesh. He made us new. He reconciled us and made us righteous. So the greatest question I can ask you from 2 Corinthians 5:17 and from Romans 8:1 is this: are we in Christ? Are you in or out? Now, I don't mean to be trite with that, but I really want you to think that through. Are you in or out? Are you in Christ Jesus? Have you received his gift of salvation? Does your life show signs of new? Now listen, he said the old has gone, the new has come. He didn't say the old sticks around and you just add new on top of it. The old is gone. If your life shows no signs of change, brothers and sisters, you need Jesus. If your life once showed signs of change, but it doesn't show them anymore, then you need repentance and to come back to Jesus. The reality is we will live differently. We will be different. The unbelieving world can't believe it when they see believers who don't act like they believe. Because we are different and we're called to be different. So are we in Christ? Now, if you are, listen, I want to encourage you then, don't walk in self-condemnation. We learn right here, we are not condemned. Now, I can have some self-condemnation when I find myself struggling with sin or an attitude or an action, and maybe you're the same. It's real easy to self-condemn and say, I don't know why God would choose me. He can't want me. Why me? Here's the reality. It says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He set us free. So don't walk in that. You can be free from that. Now, go back to 2 Corinthians 5. That's verse 17. There's freedom in him. Verse 18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses, their sins against them, and entrusting to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, that word reconcile shows up a lot. You better know what it means. It's not like you reconciling your bank account to get it to match up. We're not trying to match something up. This biblical idea of reconcile means that you had enmity with God. You were an enemy of the cross. You had enmity with God, but now because of Jesus, you have peace with God. You have new life with God. To be reconciled is to go from death to life, to go from anger to new life, to go from punishment to new life, to go from one who is against him to one he is for. That's what he does. So let's talk about what it means to be reconciled. I'll give you a few quick statements if you're writing things down in scripture to back it up. First of all, because of Jesus, we are safe from God's wrath. Because of Jesus, you're safe from God's wrath. Romans 5:9, Paul says, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. The blood of Jesus saves you from the wrath of God. Listen, if you haven't gotten excited about that lately, today's the day. You and I deserve God's wrath. You see the places in the scripture where he pours out his wrath? You read where he's going to pour it out again someday on those who do not know him and are his enemies? Listen, friends. That's what we deserve, but through the blood of Jesus, we've been saved from the wrath of God. Amen. We have been saved from his wrath. Also, as being reconciled means because of Jesus, we go from spiritual death to spiritual life. John 5:24, Jesus says this, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. We go from death to life because of Jesus. Friends, whatever problem you have today, you're no longer stuck in death, you're new life. Whatever circumstance you find difficult, and it may be hard, you go from death to life. That's what he's done for us. And so here's the amazing part of 2 Corinthians 5:19. God has entrusted the message of reconciliation to you and me. Not only have we gone from death to life, not only have we gone from old to new, we have been reconciled, but he entrusts the ministry of reconciliation to us. That word entrust, have you been entrusted? You have. If you're a parent in this room, you were entrusted by God and realistically by the state of Alabama that you will feed, clothe, and raise your children. If you stop feeding, clothing, and raising your children, eventually there will be some consequences. We all understand that. If you work, you have been entrusted by your employer to do your work correctly and to show up for work. If you stop showing up and you stop doing your work, eventually there will be consequences for what you were entrusted to do that you no longer did. If you drive a vehicle, if you have a driver's license, if you drive here in our city, you have been entrusted to operate the vehicle safely. Did y'all hear me, 431 drivers? You have been entrusted to get it right. Come on. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm getting a little angry there for that one, all right? For all of us, somebody needs to get that right. Okay, so in fact, let's do it all day long. The Lord and I'm going to give you a pass. You honk at everybody who does it. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Don't honk at them. But we've been entrusted. And eventually, if you stop driving safely, eventually there will be consequences. It may take a little while, but they're coming. You get the idea. God has entrusted, that's the same word, you and me to bring his message of reconciliation to the entire world and to your own little world. And when we stop doing this, there will be consequences. I'm not talking necessarily about God punishing you. I'm talking about bigger consequences than that. If we stop living out the entrusted work of reconciliation that God has given to us, listen to me, don't miss this. People will miss the kingdom of God. People will miss it. People will not see hope. People will miss it. And if we stop living out what's been entrusted to us to be ministers of reconciliation, then you're going to miss the glory of God. And we're going to miss partnering with God. God could have chose a thousand different ways to bring reconciliation to the world. But he said, I'm giving this ministry to my people. I'm giving it to my sons and daughters. So he's given this to you and to me. And so I want you to think through how that works. We have been called to be ambassadors and represent him in reconciliation. Look at verse 20 now, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, I know you watch things on TV about ambassadors and you read about who the new appointed ambassadors are going to be and all those kinds of things, but we don't often get to interact and have much to do with that. But I'll tell you about my interaction with an embassy and a U.S. consulate. When we were adopting our youngest son, Moses, he's 14 now. We started that process when he was a year and a half old. We finished it after he was a little over 3 years old. And so about 11 years ago, we were in Ghana, West Africa, in the capital city of this third world country that there were some parts of it that weren't extremely safe. And we were there, and Lily was there, really. Actually, Lily and Jenny, our piano player, Lily and Jenny were there for over 100 days in that capital city working to bring the two boys home. And so in the middle of all that, it was interesting because we may think, like when you watch TV, well, the U.S. Embassy, if you're a U.S. citizen and you walk on the soil, they start just welcoming you with open arms, all great. Listen, we had some difficulty with the U.S. consulate. But besides that, though, let me speak about this. It's strange when you're in a country like a third world country and everything around you is like that country. Their governance system is like that country. The streets are like that country. Traffic laws that don't exist are just, it's all about them. Helplessness, you see. Crime of opportunity, all kinds of things that might leave you a little bit worrisome at time to time. But then you can see a piece of property that is the U.S. Embassy or that is the U.S. Consulate. And here's what's interesting. That property is sovereign ground that is owned by the United States. It's sitting in the middle of Accra, Ghana, or every other country that we could mention an embassy. But that piece of ground belongs to the United States. And so when you go to the gate and you put everything you own through a metal detector and give them all your phone and all your things, when you step foot onto that property, it's very interesting because you've been in a place where you felt a little bit uneasy. You weren't in your normal surroundings. You were in a place that you couldn't control the laws or what was happening when you wanted to. But you take that one foot and you step onto U.S. soil in the middle of another country. It's just different. You feel it different. It is a sovereign territory. And so you think where the ambassador goes, the U.S. goes. That territory belongs. That piece of land belongs to the United States. And here's what I would say to you. Though the word ambassador in the Bible is not exactly the same, that's the best our minds can understand. And so I would reference it this way. The same thing is true, but it's not about land. It's about you and your feet. Just like it says in the Old Testament, what God promised to the Israelites, everywhere you set your foot will be yours. I would say this to you, as someone who is a son or daughter of the Most High King, everywhere you go, the kingdom goes. Everywhere you go, the king goes. Everywhere we go, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now that carries a great weight of responsibility, but it also carries an incredible bit of power and excitement there. And so we get to represent Jesus everywhere we go. Chris and Kim are ambassadors and ministers of reconciliation in Lebanon. We have other partners that are ambassadors and ministers of reconciliation in other parts of the world. We have a small team that'll leave in a little over a week, and they're headed to Hamtramck, Michigan, to work among Muslim people there, and in Windsor, Ontario. And everywhere they go, they will represent the kingdom of God. And it's not that the king's not already there, but they're bringing the kingdom with them also. And so that's what we do. But friends, you don't have to go halfway around the world to do that. You represent the king here. When you leave this place tomorrow morning, teenagers in the room, when you step onto school property, where you go, the king goes. Teachers, where you go, the king goes. People who work in the factory, where you go, the king goes. Where you go eat today, the king goes. You get the point. We represent the kingdom of God. And so as his representatives, we can decide to represent him well or not. And we can decide to be ministers of reconciliation. The scripture here calls it messengers of reconciliation. Or we can hold off. But here's what I got to tell you. You were reborn. We talk about I was born for this. You were reborn to reconcile. You are reborn to help others come to know Jesus. Look at verse 21. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God has made you righteous, and God's called you to be an ambassador and a messenger of reconciliation. And you can go all the way around the world to do it, and I hope you will. And you can do it right here in the bedroom down the hall from you at your house, to your neighbor, where you work, at the restaurant today. We are righteous in Christ. So can I ask, if you have his righteousness, and you do if you know Jesus, have you been representing Christ well? Maybe you're like me, every once in a while you represent him in a bad way. Some of you might say, there's no way my coworkers would want to follow Jesus if I start talking about him tomorrow. Well, if you've blown it, then here's the thing I would encourage you to do. Repent today. Say, God, I want to represent you well. Because representing will be about what comes out of our mouths, but it will also be more than words. It will be actions. It will be our hands and our feet. It will be kindness. It will be hope. It will be forgiveness offered and extended from us. It will be your outstretched hand and your extended arm. It will be healing for others. There is power of God that gets passed on by you and by me. So that's what God has called us to do. He's called us to be messengers of reconciliation. So friends, will you do that with your family and friends? Listen, Thanksgiving's coming. It's only 37 days till Christmas. I don't know how many days to Thanksgiving, but it's like a week and 3 days. So it's not many. And you'll gather with family. Most of us, I know some might not, but most of us are going to gather with family, some with extended family. You may be gathering with some of those family members that you don't know too well or don't enjoy too. I'm trying to find a nice way to say it. Listen, your family tree, it's got some nuts just like mine too, okay? Every family tree. So whatever the case may be, I would say this to you. You get to be an ambassador, a messenger of reconciliation among your family in a week. You get to be a messenger of reconciliation at your Christmas party for your work. You get to be a messenger of reconciliation everywhere you go. So would you join me in making a renewed commitment? Now, your commitment might involve some repentance. You may need to stop and say, God, I've not represented you well, so I change now in my mind, in my heart, and I'm asking you to help me. I repent. I want to represent you well. Maybe for you, you've been representing well. It's time to take the next step. Not just live it with your actions, but put it to work with your mouth. Bridge the gospel with your words and your action and your love. Whatever he's saying to you, would you join me in committing to be the messenger of reconciliation that he's called us to be? Would you bow your heads? We're going to sing a song that you know well in a moment. I've decided to follow Jesus. And this song is a commitment all to itself. So I invite you to make that your commitment. But if you need to come and pray, you're welcome to do so. But you can at your seat make this your commitment. If you have a decision to make, maybe you're like Kingsley or Caden or Crimson, and you say, I want to follow through with publicly professing my faith in Christ through baptism. Come tell me that. I'll be right here. We can make that happen in the next couple of weeks. Maybe for you, you already know that's in the works. That's great. Maybe you need to give your life to Jesus, whatever the case may be. Would you do what he's telling you to do today? Father God, thank you for the example that Chris and Kim give us. Thank you that they were willing to put their yes on the table to be messengers of reconciliation. And by everything we know and learn and see from them in their 12 years at this point in Lebanon, we see them helping people reconcile to you. God, give them many more fruitful years. I pray their best years of ministry, the best year they've ever had of ministry, is in 2025. God, please. But God, for all of it, the rest of us in the room, may we put our same yes on the table that says, I will be a minister of reconciliation with my family. I'll be a messenger of reconciliation in my work. I'll be a messenger of reconciliation among my friends. I want people to go from death to life, to go from hopelessness to joy, to go from pain to peace, that we will follow what he's done in us. Please have your way among us now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.